SBS Radio.
The award is just a fantastic way to, again, share the work that we've been able to create in Nepal and the impact on some of the most marginalised women's lives in Nepal. So it's given us a platform to share the story to a wider audience. So the work has led me to places I never imagined going to share what we've been able to create in Nepal, like the United Nations Award in 2016 in New York, and many different countries speaking at conferences and sharing our model of sustainable development. I never imagined when I first met the women 12 years ago, the seven initial women who were operating out of the tiny tin shed in Kathmandu, that it would grow to this extent. So it's been fantastic to grow an enterprise that has impacted over 5,000 women now and be able to share how we've done that on a global stage.
Some of the impact your work has had on the locals here, how they have come to associate with your work.
I think a lot of people get inspired by people that have been able to make a difference through taking a simple step and not walking past a problem that they see. And for me, that was when I was 22 in Nepal on a tour myself, meeting these seven disabled women that were living and operating in a tin shed and struggling to make ends meet. But not only the poverty, the stigma that was attached to them because of their disability, they were really ostracised by their community. So that's what really encouraged me. And you know, in situations like that, I feel like you have to do something. Any of us would feel like we wanted to do something to support the women. So from there, it grew to paying for the women to be trained with the last $200 I had on that trip, and that became a manufacturing business. And now we have a cooking school. So we host on a daily basis, kind of 2 to 3. International groups that come and do cooking classes at the centre led by the women. And we're just starting a guest house now in Kathmandu for travellers that want to support meaningful projects.
Tell us a bit about the Hands-On Development and the Fair Trade Society.
The Fair Trade group was set up at La Trobe University, where I was studying international development at the time. And that was around the time that I'd come back from leading a tour in Nepal with Duke of Edinburgh and met the seven initial women. So I set up a group at my university to sell the product that the women were making to raise funds. Now, 12 years later, we've set up our seven women headquarters and our outreach programs. And Hands-On Development is a tour company that I started to be able to share the experience of coming over to Nepal and the life-enriching experiences that I've had in Nepal with other people on 10-day immersions. So We've been able to take, I think it's over 500 people now across to Nepal on my tours through Hands-On Development. And they're not only spending time at Seven Women, but different organisations and meeting local inspiring leaders that have created real and lasting change in their communities.
Yep. So is that what you hope to achieve when you take people from here to Nepal and other countries?
Yeah, the purpose of the tours are to inspire people to connect with what matters to them and take action on issues that matter. And through visiting different organisations, working on different issues such as human trafficking, social entrepreneurship, health, we visit Fred Hollows Eye Hospital and a number of different organisations that work in environment and sustainability, they can have that first, lived experience firsthand, which ignites that flame in them and the passion to come back and do something in their own communities.
And tell us about the cooking school, the Kathmandu Cooking School. How is that going?
So that's going really well, actually. That idea came about because we were importing products from Nepal to Australia, and we're still not satisfied that was a sustainable model for them to be making products and depending on, me and the 50 other volunteers to pick and pack and send out the products. So we were wondering what would be a way to generate local income in Nepal and tap into the tourist market. There's a big tourist market, as you know, in Nepal. And we thought, well, what skills do the women have? And they all are great at cooking. And we thought, let's start cooking classes for tourists and see how they go. So we started off with the groups, my tour groups that were coming across, and they loved it. They had a great time learning how to make dal bhat and momos. So then we partnered with a few main tour companies in Nepal, and today, you know, we outgrew the kitchen. We had two kitchens in the centre, quite small, and we thought we're going to have to find a facility. So there was an old shed out the back of the centre, and we asked the landlord, can we transform that into a cooking school? And so that's become our new cooking school that can house 25 to 30 cooking class participants at any time.
Mm. So the last time I spoke to you, I think you'd been to Nepal about 22 times or something since 2004, the first time you visited. Has that number gone up, obviously, now?
Yeah, I think it's around 34, 35, 36. Yeah, so a lot.
What has it meant for you, all these years of work, for you personally?
I think that's a really great question. And Nepal has enriched my life so much since, you know, I met the women. And in building Seven Women and Hands-On Development and choosing the road of, you know, being an entrepreneur, the self-growth, you know, is continuous. And every time we need to grow the enterprise, it's finding a solution. And also the people that you meet are extremely generous. They have that spirit of generosity because we've had a lot of volunteers. We've needed a lot of different people involved to grow Seven Women to what it's become today. But Nepal has actually taught me about, you know, what's important in life, because there's a lot of people that are struggling a lot. It's taught me to prioritize, you know, what's important in life and not sweat the small stuff.
Mm, absolutely. And do you plan to maybe take your work to other parts of the world?
I'd love to expand our model, and it has, there's a lot of people that have been to our centre, visited the centre in Kathmandu and heard about the work and started their own projects, which is amazing to see the ripple effects, you know, when people get inspired and see how someone else has done it, how it gives them the confidence to try themselves. So we've seen a lot of little projects started by people that have come on my tours and connected with people locals in Nepal, but also through my speaking engagements, people that I've connected with and helped kind of mentor them to start their own enterprises. And that's been really rewarding for me as well.
When you meet someone who's never been to Nepal, I guess, or who's never been involved with this sort of work that you do, so when you describe your Seven Women project to them, what do you tell them?
Our mission statement is basically socially and economically empowering women through education, skills training and income generation. And the purpose behind that is, you know, not one single country worldwide has reached gender equality, and, you know, 2019 now. So I find that really amazing that not one single country has gender equality. And the importance of reaching gender equality is we can see the impacts on, you know, in the world through not seeing women as equal as men. And women are, you know, traditionally and statistically proven to, when they start earning money, that not only their families but their whole communities benefit. So if you think about that on a macro scale, that's where we need to be spending our time and energy and money.
When you went in 2004, you started off with $200, I guess, your first investment. So looking back now, all this time in 2019, the impact that, you know, the people who went through Seven Women Project, it would have been significant for a lot of people. Maybe give us an example of some of the changes in people's lives, in Nepali women's lives that you've seen, and have they gone on to do something similar themselves and, you know, help other women?
Yeah, I'll share an example from just my last trip a few weeks ago. I sat around the table with the women at the end of my tour when the group had gone home, and just asked them what their hopes and dreams are for the future. So there was about 22 of our managers sitting around the table, and it was such a dramatic...
And they're all Nepali, is it?
They're all Nepali, there was such a dramatic difference from when I first met these women, because when I asked the same question, they didn't know what they wanted to do in future. It had never occurred to them to think about what they are passionate about or what they would like to do. So they sat there in silence when, you know, I first asked them that question. And this time when I asked, they all had, you know, very developed hopes and dreams of what they'd like to do in future. And some of them wanted to start their own tailoring business, Sandhya, who has a disability, and is just the growth in her and the transformation has been phenomenal from, you know, hiding behind a mask when she goes out in public to cover her deformity in her face to now leading the tours, doing the bookkeeping at the centre and leading literacy classes. She's trained not only the women at the centre how to read and write, but also village people that have come to be trained up by her and go back to their villages teaching the women how to read and write. So, going around the table, and they all had very, inspiring hopes and dreams of where they wanted to be in future. And Sandhya said that she... Now, before she hasn't been confident, but now she's confident enough. She wants to teach other disabled people in Nepal that they have worth and that they can add value and that they can achieve anything that they want to achieve. So that's very exciting because there's going to be amazing ripple effects if the women have that sort of vision.
Yeah, and what's next for you?
What's next for me? I'd like to expand Seven Women into a global network. So I've met amazing people in the speaking engagements I've done all around the world, and everywhere I go there's people that are wanting to create change in the world and bring about positive changes. So I'd like to connect them in some way and create a bit of a vibrant network of best practice and resource sharing and all that sort of thing. Very early stages at the moment, but that's the idea that I'll be thinking about how to develop over the next 2-3 years, I think.
Yep, and we wish you all the best for all your work, and congratulations once again.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.